You know, DC, I thought maybe things could be a little different with you and I. I thought maybe we could get along and do this in friendship. But here we are, 2 weeks into the show, and I already got to call you out.
Call me out on what? What did I do now?
It's not what you did. It's not what you said. It's what you didn't do, and it's what you didn't say.
What? What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Good Guy, Bad Guy. I'm Daniel Cormier. That is my man, Chael Sonnen. And obviously, I didn't do or I didn't say something. But Chael, we're getting into five rounds. But before, we're only 6 days from the start of the real March Madness as we head to Matt Madness in Kansas City, Missouri. And I can't wait. My brother, the seats came out yesterday. And all hell broke loose in amateur wrestling. But Chael, you and I are both happy because it's a bit messy, and we love messy.
Did you say Matt Madness? I mean, I got to tell you, maybe you stole that somewhere, but I've never heard it. If you just coined that, we need to put that on a T-shirt and a bumper sticker today. That was beautiful. It is Matt Madness coming to Kansas City.
Chael, we're going to both wear Matt Madness T-shirts for our show next week, live from Kansas City. But Chael, we need to get to five rounds with DC and Chael. Here's round number one, Chael. Remember, we got a minute to get to our points. Get it done. Round one, Nate Diaz, Jorge Masvidal, scheduled now. What do you make of it?
I am interested in this. I thought there was room for celebrity boxing. I mean, way back when this started, I credited it to the Paul brothers, whether I am exactly historically right or not. I thought it had about a year and a half, Daniel, and that's everything. That's the Roy Joneses, the Mike Tysons, the Evander Holyfields, you know, some of these old names coming back, or even the Tyron Woodleys and the Anderson Silvas going over to it. I was wrong. I made that prediction about 3.5 years ago. And now here we've got Gamebred and we've got Diaz. But if I can make this final point, Daniel, they're putting their money where their mouth is. These guys are the promoter of the event. They stand to make a lot. Partner, they stand to lose a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, Chael? I like it because these two guys need direction. They need something to do, especially since they are not in the UFC anymore. My only concern is, in the UFC, when there was a full tool set to fight with, Nate Diaz got beat by Jorge Masvidal. Now, he is going into Masvidal's world to try to beat him. It would seem to be a very difficult matchup for Diaz, but he is all for it. Round two, Chael. Jack Della Maddalena. If he was not impressive enough on Saturday night, we just found out that he broke his arm very early in that fight and then still finish Gilbert Burns. How impressed are you by the toughness now of Jack Della as you are impressed with this skill set?
No, I sell hard here. I see this a very different way. There has been fights where one athlete tapped out. The referee missed it. The fight continued and it went against him. It should have been stopped at the tap. The commission has reviewed that and given it to the guy who should have won initially if the ref had not missed it. Tim Sylvia lost a world championship. He had a bone in his arm pop. Nobody saw it. Only Herb Dean did. Everyone was booing Herb Dean. We look in and we see. So now we have proof that if you are damaged and you have a broken bone, that you lose by TKO, even if the referee missed it. So I am seeing Jack come out and basically say, hey, ref, you screwed up. Hey, Gilbert, you did more damage than I did. Gilbert should have won this fight by TKO. Jack is a fool for putting this out.
Jack, you're so crazy, man. Sometimes I don't know where you get this stuff. But here's the thing. The right guy won. He's insanely durable. He's insanely tough. And it tells you what adrenaline does for you. We had one guy get stopped because he had a splinter. The other guy fought with a broken arm and got the job done. That is the levels of fighting we see in the UFC. Sometimes you don't see
Daniel,
it in other places.
Excuse me, Daniel. If there was a tap and the referee missed it, we all see it and you go to a commission for a review and you prove there was a tap. Do you disagree that history says they reversed that decision? Because it just happened in New Jersey in the PFL.
Yes. Absolutely.
If that is the right call to reverse it,
the right guy won. the right guy won. The right
not
guy won,
to Jack.
I am not taking
Jack,
the two
he was
Jack
hurt. According to Jack himself, he was injured in an injury that Jack knows the referee would have stopped had he been aware. Jack has made him aware. This could be reversed if Gilbert pushed it.
All right, Chael, round three. Tough 32. The former champion Valentina Shevchenko takes on the reigning champion Alexa Grasso. They fought twice, a draw and a win by the champ. Now, it seems like the Sphere would be a great place for this fight, Mexican Independence Day, as they fought last year. Here's one problem. Valentina doesn't want to fight on Mexican Independence Day. Chael, my question to you is this. Does she really have a choice considering she's not the champ anymore? And what does it say to the mindset of the former champion that she is kind of saying, I don't want to fight where I would feel like Alexa is the crowd favorite?
Yeah, and I love your second point even more than the first. I mean, look, the challenger that's hungry will do anything. There is no negotiation on money. There's no negotiation on cage or glove size and some of these silly things that come up. They will do anything to get that shot. Now, what her bigger argument isn't the Sphere specifically. It's that it's going to be in Las Vegas specifically. She would like it to come to her hometown. She thinks that Alexa was favored by the judges in the first one. Look, Daniel, there is something to be said for you do for me and I do for you and we give it back. But that would be for the second match. This is not the second match. This is the third match. Alexis has already given the Bullet 10 rounds to beat her. And the Bullet hasn't done it. The Bullet needs to be a little bit more hat in the hand, as we say in America.
Yeah, she's got to just take what she can get at this point. Because, Chael, for a while, it didn't seem like she would get the third fight. She's getting the third fight. She gets another opportunity to regain her championship. But here's one of the bigger issues. I believe that safest way to get a belt, go to 135. Because we all saw that the champion now is, Raquel Pennington did not fight great. Round four, Chael, I'm sorry that I went a little long, my friend. Joanna Jędrzejczyk went into the Hall of Fame, is going into the Hall of Fame in July. Does the strawweight division ever exist if not for Joanna Jędrzejczyk, who was such a great champion?
Daniel, she is so wonderful. If I could just tell you a quick story, but she'd only fought in twice in the UFC, and she used to wear this brown leather jacket. I don't think like that was a gimmick, but she was known for the coat. Like, she looked so cool in this coat. She came walking into a UFC fighter summit. I was side by side with Ronda Rousey, who was the queen of MMA. Myself, everyone in the room, including Ronda, we all turn. It was kind of like a gasp moment where we go, that's her. That's that girl we keep seeing. She's a star. That's my point.
She had on a coat, Chael. She had on a really nice coat, and it stunned you.
Yes!
Sometimes it's the low-hanging fruit that we all fall in love with. Look, Joanna Jędrzejczyk was really something special, from the boogie woman to the stare downs to the intimidation to the way that she fought. She was exactly what that division needed to get started, and she carried it for a really long time. I don't know that we ever will see someone in that division reign like she did. All hail the strawweight queen, or the former strawweight queen. She belongs in the Hall of Fame. Chael, round five. Tai Tuivasa takes on Marcin Tybura this weekend. For a while, Tai Tuivasa was rolling, my man. He was hot, but it all seems to cool down now. What's the importance of this fight this weekend, especially with the top of the division seemingly locked up by Jones, Tom Aspinall, Stipe Miocic, and now Curtis Blaydes again?
And even with the bumps in the road that Tuivasa has experienced, those performances, Daniel, he's getting better. I see him getting better each time. Now, you really have to understand, Tuivasa is a modern-day Tank Abbott. And what I mean by that is he's a brawler, he's a fighter, he wants to be in there, and he's not going to back down, but he's not a black belt in anything. He's not totally polished. Before you think I'm insulting him, I'm saying, no, that's why we keep seeing him taking so many leaps in between fights. Not to mention, don't judge his body for his level of fitness. That guy can push hard for the entire fight should he need to.
He's a good fighter, man. I trained with Tai Tuivasa a while back before the pandemic, and I was very impressed with that run that he went on. This weekend, though, he fights Marcin Tybura, a guy who is willing to give him the type of fight that he generally excels in. Can Ty Tuivasa get back on the winning side of things? Or I believe this is just a crossroads. We will know what to make of these two after Saturday night. It's a heavyweight banger that I cannot wait to watch. Jalen, I'll be watching this weekend, but matches that I will watch will come down the line, so it's time for Matchmaker. Last weekend, we saw some great performances. Obviously, Sean O'Malley defended the championship. Dustin Poirier won. Michael Venom Page won. Jack Della Maddalena won. And Piotr Jan won. So what does that leave us with? The people that lost last weekend, Chael, everybody rushes to match the person that won. How about the other guys? They're very good fighters themselves. So, Chael, let's play Matchmaker. Who do you want to see next against Chito Vera after he lost his championship opportunity last weekend?
Corey Sandhagen. And not only do I want to see that, Corey Sandhagen would like to see that. Look, I can't remember the last time that Corey asked for a favor around here. I really can't remember the last time he called somebody out, let alone he did it with Venom. Now, Daniel, maybe I'm taking for granted that you saw Corey's formerly Twitter, now we call it X, yesterday, but he was very aggressive towards Chito. He did not call him out, but it was very clear that this piece was designed as a challenge. I like the idea.
You know, Chael, here's my deal, right? So I do this thing. It's kind of my shtick. You know, I play Matchmaker. It gets turned into graphics so that people can watch it. But I'm going to tell you who I want Chito to fight next. I want to see him and Kyler Phillips. Because after Kyler Phillips was able to do what he did last weekend against Pedro Munhoz, he deserves an opportunity for something bigger. Guys like this, a guy that was on the Ultimate Fighter when I coached, moving his way up in the rankings, gets another big step after he bounces Pedro Munhoz, who for years was one of the top bantamweights in the world, out of the top 15. I believe that he is deserving of another opportunity and another big spot. I say put him and Chito in the octagon next. I believe it would be absolute fireworks. Chael, give me your next matchup for Benoit Saint-Denis.
All right, I'm going with Jeff Neal here. Now, I'd like to make my case, and it's twofold. First off, I think that that's a really good position. There's a policy, it's not a rule, but if you won your last fight, you get matched up with the guy that won his last fight. If you came in second, you go with the guy that came in second. Look, I just think they're a lot of fun. Saint-Denis is not afraid anywhere. He has shown his ability on the ground, but on his feet, he really is something special. And Jeff Neal is as good of an athlete as 170 pounds has right now. I think they both need each other.
You know what? I would love to see that, Chael. I mean, you make the rules. This is your matchmaker. So if you want to put a welterweight and a lightweight together, go ahead. Enjoy yourself. This is Chael's world. We all live in it. But for me, I'm going with Rafael Fiziev. I want to see Benoit Saint-Denis against another young, up-and-coming guy that is dangerous, that is just a phenomenal Muay Thai striker, and a guy that fought Justin Gaethje, right? I think these young guys that get the opportunity to fight those longtime veterans, if they fail, they should fight each other to try to work their way back into the elite of the division. So I would like to see these two fight each other. Chael, Michael Venom Page beat Kevin Holland. Kevin Holland is a guy that always picks his hand up to fight anyone that they match him up with or anyone that needs an opportunity. Who do you want to see Kevin Holland fight next, Chael?
I'm going with Wonder Boy, and it's a lot of because of what you just said. I mean, it's just very on brand. Kevin Holland takes the absolute hardest matches. I mean, really, there's nothing stylistic about it. I even spoke to Kevin one time about doing a grappling match. He was going to go against Rumble Johnson, rest his soul. He's going to give up 30 pounds, and it was on 2 days' notice. I mean, the guy, when you say we'll take on anybody, he truly is the current time Cowboy Cerrone. Wonder Boy's a very interesting matchup, particularly because they would both stand, and not to mention, I thought that Holland surprised a lot of people with MVP. You can talk about the strike count being down. Sure you can, but you can also talk about his defense being up. MVP put up a lot of air balls, and he's got a very similar style to Wonder Boy in that it's very unique.
Yeah, it's a really good fight. I would like to see that, Chael. Honestly, I would absolutely watch it. But for me, I want to see him fight Neil Magny, right? I think that after you fight all these high-level fights, I mean, remember, he stood up to fought Chimaev on a day's notice. He fought MVP on his way over here. Neil Magny also is a guy that I think Neil Magny has more wins in the welterweight division than anyone. So I would like to see Kevin Holland get an opportunity to fight Neil Magny. Two guys that both are coming off losses, that both need something positive to push them forward in a very loaded welterweight division. Now, Chael, Gilbert Burns also lost last weekend, but Gilbert Burns got finished. You don't see Gilbert Burns get finished. He got finished by Jack Della Maddalena, and by your logic, he won the fight. So how would you match him up, considering he actually won last weekend, when we kind of look at it the way you look at it?
I'm going white hat versus the black hat, and I'm burying my lead, but you probably already know. Gilbert Burns versus Colby Covington. Listen, they're both living in Florida, and there is no way that that town and jurisdiction is big enough for the two of them. By the way, Colby Covington has never been called out that I'm aware. And anybody that has called Colby out while he's already got a signed contract for somebody else, I'm throwing out. That doesn't count. Except one. There is an exception that said, I want chaos, and he said it for a meaningful period of time, whether Colby was on top or right now where he's regrouping. That's Gilbert Burns. And that is a very interesting match, and I just don't think those two can avoid each other for very much longer. Let's just get this over with now.
That is a great fight. Man, I never thought about that. I never thought about Covington. Covington's on his stuff right now, though, man. He's putting Ian Gary through the ringer. And if they don't get a payoff to that, after all, he told Ian Gary yesterday he got a bag, Chael. If they don't get to pay that off, I would be very, very sad. I'm putting him against Jeff Neal. I'm putting Gilbert Burns against Jeff Neal. Jeff Neal, hands of stone, tremendous boxer. We know that Gilbert is a tremendous boxer and grappler. I believe that both of these guys need each other. Jeff Neal just came off the loss against Ian Gary at UFC 298 in Anaheim. 299, Gilbert Burns lost. The timing works. I think that it just makes sense to match them together. I think it's a great fight and a great opportunity. Lastly, Song Yadong. Song Yadong had a tremendous fight against Piotr Jan, who, by the way, was hurt going into that fight. It was reported after the fight happened. But Song Yadong has become one of the funnest guys in the UFC, a tremendous power puncher. Who do you want to see Song Yadong challenge next, Chael?
All right, Daniel, every now and then, instead of matchmaking too quickly, the right thing to do is to take your oars out of the water. For example, I feel at featherweight that that's what we're doing right now. Before we go and get Ilya Topuria, all of a sudden this new star lined up, let's breathe a little bit. For example, if Max Holloway gets the jump on Gaethje and wants to slide back down, it's a very different conversation. Aljo, who will be fighting on 300 against Cater, if he comes out, looks good, does the right interview, I think we're having a very different landscape in that weight class. My point, for Song, I'd like him to wait as well. I'd like to give a good look to Garbrandt versus Figueiredo. I understand that we'd probably be looking for the guy that came in second there, but that's a really great matchup, and maybe what should be next for Song.
You know what? That's a good fight, especially if it's Garbrandt, because of the history. Song was the young guy in Alpha Male when Cody was rocking and rolling as the champion. So yeah, that gets a little cloudy. But for me, I'm giving him another opportunity, Chael. I'm putting him in there with Dominic Cruz. I know that Dominic Cruz is not really going to just fight for the sake of fighting. Dominic Cruz is a very smart guy. He's made a lot of money as the champion. The greatest bantamweight of all time. He is a tremendous commentator. But I believe that a fight with Song Yadong would motivate him and excite him enough to get him back into the octagon. Dominic Cruz is an absolute savage, and he is not done competing yet. But he wants to compete in the biggest moments, in the biggest matchups. I believe Song Yadong fits that bill to a T. So I'm matching up the former champ Dominic Cruz against Song Yadong.
I like where your head's at. You know, I was with Dominic Cruz, Daniel, and I just asked him straight up. You know, it was just the two of us. I said, Dom, give me the scoop, man. Are you still fighting? He's never retired, but he also hasn't been as aggressive with his callouts. Daniel, he answered my question. It was just he and I drinking a cup of coffee. It was a super hot cup of coffee. By the time he was done, he had touched on seven different dimensions. It took so long that my coffee was cold, and I still don't have the answer. Quite frankly, I mean, he told me where his coach is at. He told me that he moved. He told me what he's working on. He told me the tapes that he's watching. He told me where his contract is and his standing with Dana White. Somewhere in there, I was supposed to interpret something, but I'll tell you this much. The people that are writing Dominic off and think he'll only do Legends fights, they don't know Dominic Cruz. If he's going to fight, he'll fight anybody they want him to.
That's hilarious. It's so Dominic. It's so Dominic.
I had no idea. I needed an interpreter sometimes when I talked to him, and I consider him a friend. Like, I feel like we would, it was just the two of us. There was no performance there. We were pinging around. I mean, I know so much about this guy's personal life now. I don't know for sure if he's fighting or not.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You know, Miami is a city for stars. And last weekend, we had two of the biggest stars in the UFC perform brilliantly as Dustin Poirier knocked out Benoit Saint-Denis, and the boy, Sugar Sean O'Malley, retained his championship in his pink shorts with his Skittles haircut. And he just is a guy that is exploding. So it got me thinking, Chael, why don't we list the five biggest stars in the UFC? I listed them right now. I didn't list them all time. Chael, I got to be honest, I didn't quite understand the assignment. That's what the young kids say. You don't understand the assignment. Old man DC didn't. So I will go with what I picked. At number five, I got Alex Pereira. Alex Pereira is a guy that is as scary as they come. He's barely been here, Chael. He's already a double champion. And the reception that this man receives everywhere he goes is next level. And he is not missing any opportunities to be seen by the people. Alex Pereira is the all-time special fighter at every UFC event that he is not fighting on. So he makes himself available, and the fans are responding in kind. Number four, all right? I'm going Sean O'Malley. Because, Chael, I was in Miami, and I saw how the crowd responded to Sean O'Malley. I saw an arena completely full for a bantamweight. I saw the emotion. Look, all week it felt like Chito Vera was going to be the fan favorite until we got into the arena and the paying customer, Chael, let their voices be heard, because the ones that bought the tickets were there to experience the Sugar Show. And from what I have heard, Chael, the numbers are looking very nice for Sugar Sean O'Malley. So at number four, I got Sean O'Malley.
And also, Daniel, the growth has to impress you as well. I mean, if you were to look at where Sean was 2 years ago and compare that to anybody else on the roster, his gains are a greater. So what I'm saying is he's got potential. As big as he is right now, and I agree with everything you said, he's got potential to grow.
He's going to be even bigger by the time this is all said and done. At number three, Chael, I got the former middleweight champion, Israel Adesanya. Israel Adesanya is an absolute star, and he's a guy that shows up. I believe that Izzy, for all of his character and how exciting he is in terms of fighting, his dancing, and all these other things, I think what people appreciated most about Adesanya was his activity. He fought more over a short period of time as champion as anyone I've ever seen for a long time. So not only was the fights exciting, you had the great walkouts, you had the dancing, you had him headlining a card in Australia with 55,000 people inside of the arena. It was amazing to sit there and watch him become the undisputed champion when he knocked out Robert Whittaker. But I believe it was his activity that made him so appreciated by the fans. And you know how they paid him back, Chael? They hit the pay-per-view buy button over and over and over. And Adesanya sold a ton of pay-per-views. He is a massive star.
I've been so impressed how Adesanya remains a man of the people. I watched him defend his belt against Robert Whittaker, and then he puts it on Burger Beard, which is like an internet personality who happened to be in the front row. By day trade, he's a landscaper, right? I mean, it was hard. He had to save and do a lot of things to get to the event. All of a sudden, Adesanya, the biggest star, is including him. Adesanya will entertain you on the walk to the ring, with the performance, and on the way out the door, he is the total package.
Yeah, absolutely. Love Izzy, man. He has done some special things in a very short period of time. Chael, you know who I got at number two? You and I's favorite, John Bones Jones. Because back in the day, Chael, John Bones Jones sold pay-per-views with you. Or John Bones Jones sold pay-per-views with me. Or Rashad Evans. Guys that he had a history with. Or guys that could talk and annoy him. John Bones Jones sold 800,000 pay-per-views with Cyril Gane. A guy that had no history with Jones. There was no beef. And I think that speaks to who John Jones has become as a star in the sport of mixed martial arts. Obviously, the layoff helped, and him not being around was great. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. But I think it was very telling that John Jones did not need the right dance partner to sell. He did it with Cyril Gane. We know how he can fight. We know he's a champion. But now it seems as though the people are responding to him as the draw that it feels like he should have been a long time ago.
There's something we do out here in the West Coast. It's called mooning people. Now, it's a little outdated, but it's where you force them to see your butt. You will show them. It's called a moon. People will do it as they drive by in traffic. For example, John Jones beat the holy heck out of me. And it was about 2 in the morning because we were on the East Coast time. He then went back to the hotel, comforted my mother, and as he said goodbye, he mooned her. John Jones is funny. John Jones has personality and charisma, quite frankly. And I really feel when the camera goes on, sometimes he pretends to be somebody he's not. Daniel, the real John Jones is a really good time to be around. That's the truth.
That is hilarious. He mooned your mom. Oh, your poor mom, to see that big black ass. Hey guys, number one, I got Conor McGregor, and it's unquestioned. I don't care what you feel about Conor McGregor. I don't care that Conor McGregor has not fought for a long time. Chael, on this one, I actually understood the assignment because Conor McGregor is the biggest star now. Conor McGregor is also the biggest star of all time. I know Anderson and Chuck and all those great fighters from the past, but no one has gone to the levels of Conor McGregor. And I don't believe that we will ever see another Conor McGregor again. The 2.5 million pay-per-views that he sold with Khabib Nurmagomedov is a number that the UFC will never touch again unless Conor McGregor fights and he fights a guy like Khabib Nurmagomedov. This is unquestionable. He is the biggest star today. He is the biggest star of all time. And he will always be the biggest star that the UFC has ever seen.
Oh, forget it. He's one of the biggest stars in entertainment, Daniel. They would sell out arenas because folks in Dublin would get on jumbo jets and come over in droves. That's how over he was. 3 days before the event, they would be in the streets chanting and singing for him. Whether he won or lost, they still backed him up and they still went to the after party and they still look forward to what's next. That guy was just a global superstar. If you want to say for a fighter, for a boxer, for an entertainer, go ahead. You could leave that out, though, and you could just say star.
Yeah, you know, Chael, I love right, also DC. That you're talking about him in the past tense. You're putting him in the past tense with the was, because the other day you act like you believe he was coming back, but now you're putting him in the past tense where he kind of belongs right now. Chael, that was a great list. I would say that's the best list. I don't know how you could top it, but I'll give you the opportunity to try.
Well, I really enjoyed your list, and to your original point, maybe we did misinterpret this. I looked at these like artists, and one thing we know about artists is their work is more valued and appreciated after. So I really did look at the list and kind of who, as I was coming up, inspired me. So I went with a lot of guys that were after. And by the way, you want to talk about this list? I left you off because it's present company, but should you and John Jones have fought at UFC 200 as planned? That would have the records. If Brock Lesnar went through with his heavyweight title fight against you, that would have records. All right, number five, I'm going to start with my mentor, Randall P. Couture. Now, the one thing with Randy is they call him the Natural. That was his nickname. And over time, he kind of amended how he got to that point because he never used steroids or performance-enhancing drugs. The reality was they call him a Natural because on day one, he could play. On day one, he was in a two-man tournament against guys who had done this before he never had. And not only did he deal with them, he dealt with them handily, one after the next, and never got hurt. That's why they call him the Natural.
I love Randy Couture, and I think that Randy Couture is underappreciated and not remembered for what he truly was to the sport he sold. And that dude became the heavyweight champion of the world at 45 years old. Chael, I turn 45 next week. I could not imagine going into an octagon with a 6'7" Tim Sylvia to become the world champion. Randy Couture is a great pick.
All right, number four, I went with Brock Lesnar, and I believe that numbers would support me. Now, Brock Lesnar had one flop. He fought Overeem, and as great as that looked on a poster, and as long as people waited to see it, the numbers weren't there, but I want to tell you why. The UFC played a Friday night. They had done Saturdays for over 10 years. They put this fight on a Friday night because of the 4th of July holiday. A lot of people ended up missing it. But I do think that Brock Lesnar's numbers were impressive. And aside from his pay-per-view and his draw ability, how about his numbers such as he was 3-1 when he won the world championship?
You know, Chael, if I understood, Brock Lesnar and Ronda Rousey would be on the list. But again, I was never a great student, Chael. That's why I went to Oklahoma State, where wrestling is king and everything else is secondary.
I love it. And by the way, don't tell me you fell for the Ronda hype. That was marketing. Poor Ronda, who's a friend of mine, but she doesn't have any records. She has no live gate records, t-shirt records, or pay-per-view records. That was smoke and mirrors, my friends. You want to know who really is number three? The most famous Muslim athlete on the planet, Khabib Nurmagomedov. This guy did a little of everything. You want to know the hardest thing, the hardest fight that Khabib ever had that I witnessed? It was between he and Dana White just to get the opportunity. Khabib would beg for these. He would go out and finish guys. Khabib is the most dominant combat athlete, and I'm including boxing, of all time. I come to that analysis because he has more 10-8 rounds than anybody in combat history. How do you like that for a stat? On top of being undefeated, come on, man. They built a stadium for this guy. When he fought Poirier, they didn't have anywhere to put it. They built an arena for this guy. He is a star.
Yep, Khabib Nurmagomedov absolutely is a star. And you're right, Chael. The Etihad Stadium in Abu Dhabi was built for Khabib. And honestly, those big deals that they have in the Middle East would not have worked if not having Khabib Nurmagomedov. So sometimes, Chael, like you said, he begged Dana to get the opportunity. Sometimes you don't know that you got a gold mine right up under your nose. And then when you start to cash in, it walks away. Khabib Nurmagomedov was an absolute star. And I once went on the show. I went on First Take, Chael. And I put Khabib as the number one combat sports athlete of all time. And I got more hate than I've ever received in my entire life, maybe because the platform was so big, but I agree with you on that point.
All right, and I'm going to tell you this, and I believe that he is also the best ever. I'm bearing my lead, but I'm talking about George St. Pierre, also known as Judges St. Pierre. But I will tell you this, Dana White said he used to lose sleep. Like, as a promoter and as a businessman, he would lose sleep. He'd be so nervous, his stomach would get sick before pay-per-views, except if GSP was fighting. He said he knew that he could count on him. And I will tell you a number at one point, and it was when St. Pierre fought Josh Koscheck. For the second time, they did that in Canada, and they did that at $11 million gate in front of 40,000 people. Those records have been beaten, but at the time, that not only set the bar, it crushed former competition.
I have never heard a crowd louder than when we walked with Koscheck out in Montreal. Those people sounded like they wanted to kill him. They were there for George St. Pierre, and they let it be known, and boy, chill. I was very early in my career, so I had never really gotten an opportunity to witness greatness that wasn't a teammate. I had saw Cain Velasquez show greatness against Brock Lesnar, but to sit next to the octagon and watch that man compete, I swear, Chael, it looked like he was floating out there. He was so good. I could not believe that this guy wasn't a wrestler, had a background in our sports. He was just so good, man. Yeah, another great pick, Chael. It feels like you understood the assignment.
All right, I tell you this. I was in Fox Studios in something we call the Green Room. I was visiting with a brand new commentator who just signed with the UFC by the name of Daniel Cormier. And he told me the greatest spot you could get to in this sport, it was not champion, it was not main event. He told me the greatest spot you can get to is where the outcome of your last match doesn't matter. And I had never considered this before. But as I go to number one, there's only one person. It is Conor McGregor. These are not opinions. It is Conor McGregor. And one thing I do bring up, all the other guys that want to be main events, they got to be champion, not him. All the other guys that want to be the highest star, they had to have won their last fight, not him. I don't know the stat off the top of my head, but I believe he has lost five of his last six. That is to include the foray with McGregor. I know I'm real close on that, but the point I actually mean is a compliment in this context because he remained the boss even after a loss.
Yeah, you know, he is just different. And I saw him at the Roadhouse premiere the other day, the movie that he has about to come out starring with Jake Gyllenhaal. And you just see it. He has broken out of our sport. He has exploded. He is one of the most famous athletes in the entire world, not just in mixed martial arts. And I would say him and Khabib Nurmagomedov are two of the greatest and most recognizable figures in all of sports today. Chael, hey, that was a hell of a list, man. Wow, that was a hell of a list.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it. But I got to tell you something, though, real fast before we move on. First off, three things, okay? Numbers do not lie. And then you have just general politeness. And then the third thing is, when you're on live TV, don't ever say you have three things, because if you can't remember, you kind of look like a fool. All right, I'm going to stop there. You didn't put me on there? You didn't put Chael P on there? I sold more t-shirts, more tickets, and more pay-per-views than anybody. And you know that. Why am I not on the list?
Chael, I just was looking at everything. And as I broke things down, I told you, I kind of blanked on it. I wasn't exactly sure if we were talking about athletes today or athletes of all time. I will say this. If we were talking biggest stars in the history of the UFC, yeah, you probably still weren't going to be on the list, my brother. I can't lie to you, Chael. The one thing about a good friend is we shoot you straight all the time. You'd probably be around six or seven. I don't know, Chael.
Daniel, this isn't the first time today I've been shafted. We also talk about the fact that Joanna Champion is going to go into the Hall of Fame because she did so well at strawweight. I have never lost to a strawweight. I've never even been challenged. I've never lost a round to a strawweight, but you don't see them mentioning my name on ESPN.
Chael, when are you going into the Hall of Fame? When's my boy going into the Hall of Fame? Get Uncle Chael into the Hall of Fame. The only undefeated, undisputed guy outside of Khabib Nurmagomedov. So, Chael, what did you do with the belt whenever you retired? You just kind of relinquished it because, you know, that's what a real champion does.
No, I framed it. It's at a local restaurant in West Lynn called Cooperstown. And by the way, I got to tell you, I've beaten four guys that are already in the Hall of Fame, and I assume Rampage and Vandalay are going to go in. That would be six. That would be a record, not for nothing. And by the way, Daniel, this isn't the only list that you left me off of. I heard what you said the other day.
Best fighters to never hold an undisputed belt. I love Chael. But I'm not going to sit here and say Chael was one of the best fighters to never hold a belt.
He's not one of the top five guys?
No, bro.
Right.
No. Dan Henderson, yeah.
Chael.
I got to tell you, Corp. I got to tell you, Daniel. I fought Anderson for the belt, and you were there. I had two 10-8 rounds. I didn't have to beat him. I just had to run out the clock, which had 90 seconds left. You're telling me I'm not one of the best? I don't think that you mean that.
Chael, can I say something? Can I just say something, Chael, and I will tell you, first off, they set me up. And then when you look at it very closely, there's a thing called AI, right? And it almost takes your voice and says things for you. And that wasn't me, Chael. That wasn't me. You once said, are you going to believe me or your lying eyes? Look at your boy up there, Chael, getting played by the AI. That's not me. That's AI over my voice. They played me, Chael. I would never do you like that, my brother. I promise you, Chael. It's AI. It's AI.
Yeah, that actually would be understandable. And don't forget, it wasn't that you didn't put me on a list. It was that you literally were arguing with somebody who did put me on a list. I would love to. Listen, I fought 11 world champions. I beat 8 of them at 3 different weight classes. I didn't beat them at the right time. You got to have the belt the night the guy beats him. But in all fairness, come on. Come on, it was one removed. There was nobody quite like Sonnen, not at 185 pounds.
There was nobody like Uncle Chael. Chael, they got me with the AI. And it was Dan Helly who actually had you on his list, who knows nothing about mixed martial arts, but he got one right. For the first time, the Hellcat got one right, bro. Chael, look, man, we have many rivals in, or not sorry, we have many people we admire in sport. Wrestling, mixed martial arts. But if you're a wrestler, and if you're a wrestler that's gone down this path, you know of Mark Coleman, you know of the Hammer House, you know those great guys that came out of Ohio State, not only for wrestling, but for mixed martial arts. Mark Coleman was heroic last weekend. Mark Coleman has been heroic for a long time, though. Mark Coleman struggled very badly with drugs and alcohol. He got himself sober, and he flew all around the country speaking the message of how much his life has improved. Last week, he saved his parents, Chael, and he tried to save the dog. And when he went to save the dog, he got himself into some real trouble. Mark Coleman's recovering now, but let's give some words to the Hammer as we see him right now hugging his kid and his wife and showing some emotion.
Yeah, that's a tough watch right there. The last time I've seen Mark in a shot with both of those girls, he was in the ring with Fedor. Fedor had won the fight, but Mark was introducing little girls, 9, 10, 8 years old, to Fedor to let him know, hey, this is just daddy's job and this is an okay guy. So that's a very beautiful shot right there. And by the way, did you see his body? I mean, look at how great he looked. When Mark was fighting, there was even fewer rules than there are now. There was no weigh-ins, gloves only if you wanted to wear them. Nobody checked for a cup or a mouthpiece for that matter. To throw somebody down, to bludgeon them, to headbutt them, that's called aggression. And that's not called being a fighter. People get that wrong all the time. The fighter is the person that can deal with the aggression, that can deal with the adversity, that can get up and push through. To see Mark Coleman go and save both of his parents and go back in for a dog, there is nothing tougher. There is no true fighter, Daniel. I would like to think of myself as somebody that would respond that same way, but frankly, you don't know. That is a hero that we just looked at laying in that hospital bed, and I am so glad that he's okay.
I'm so happy he's okay, man. And I got the message from Mike DeSabato on Monday, I think, that was happening. And to see Coley laying in that bed with the ventilator and everything, it was so scary to think that there could be a world where we'd have to live without Mark Coleman. Thank God he's doing better. But, man, when it is over, when Coleman comes through this on the other side like the champion that he is and his parents look at him, oh, my goodness, the emotion that is going to run through this man knowing that the people that gave him life, he saved their life. So hats off to Mark Coleman, man, one of the pioneers of mixed martial arts and a guy that really did, him and Randy and those guys, Kevin Randleman, those were the ones that showed us wrestlers that there was another job out there for us past competing internationally and everything else that we did. Chael, man, Another great show. Thank you again for doing it, man. Like, well, I can't thank you enough for stepping up when the boy needed a co-host, Chill. Appreciate you, my brother.
There was five people you could have put on the list. You really think you know five people that could get the jump on Chael P? Five non-champions that you're confident could handle Chael P? You know I cheat, by the way. It wasn't just them versus... I would have cheated, Daniel, and you still rode with them? Come on, man.
Chael, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, Uncle Chael. Guys, catch us next Monday for another episode of Good Guy, Bad Guy. And then again on Thursday. Get us wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, ESPN2, ESPN+. I'm Daniel Cormier. That is the West Lynn Gangsta Chael Sonnen. And we will catch you guys next time.
Brainstorm. What's something that works so well that it's basically magic? Microwave. Air conditioning. What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/goodguybadguy. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/goodguybadguy now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/goodguybadguy.